Like, we know the story. I know you do. It's Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. I'll say for the third or is it the fourth time, he is risen. He is. It's fabulous. It's so good. Jesus Christ, our Savior, died on a cross for us, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. But I feel like sometimes we are confused by why it matters. Because the world didn't stop. I mean, really honestly, right? Nothing changed in the function of the world. 24 hours was still the day. People are still born. People still die. Even for 1,000 years after, 2,000 years after we're at now. And he died for us, and it's so amazing, and we proclaim it, and we worship, and Jesus is alive. Yes, he is. What really changed? So, here, can I say it this way? You and me, our relationship with God changed forever on that day. That's kind of grasping. I was calling this grasping what Easter is, and not because somehow, oh, we got to get, no, because it's a reality, but sometimes we don't seem to get it to, it's like this. I think, okay, Jesus died. We're new. We got something new. And I think I'm getting a new car. Now, I'm not a car guy, so sorry. I know there's some in the room. But for me, like, I drive my 2006 Hyundai, and it's 18 years old then, and it's kind of, the transmission's kind of going out a little, so don't ask me to be in first gear. And it's held together with duct tape, and you know, but it's a car. It gets me where I want to go. And you say, hey, I'm going to give you a new car. I think that's kind of what Easter is, you know. I got a new car. If I sit in it, and boy, it'd be amazing and all that, and I don't want one. But if I got it, I'd say, oh, that's really great. But you know what? The same rules would still apply. I'd still need to drive. I'd still need to know the traffic laws. I'd still need to, you know, it might help me with lane assist or something now, or cool backups. Like, ew, it's an upgrade. And I think that's Easter, right? No. No, Easter is something totally different. Something changed. It's like you were had a car and you're driving, and now you're getting on a plane and you're flying. But you're a passenger, you know. The pilot's getting you where you're supposed to go. That's this idea of Easter. So this is what you have to know. You only really grasp Easter. And I'm going to put this out there. I hope that you follow. Like Dex already know this. That'd be fabulous. You only get Easter if you really understand what is the new covenant. You say, well, ooh, those are words I'm not sure I know very well. The new covenant. What does that have to do with Easter? Yeah, so this is the thing. We're going to establish this covenant. Make sure you understand it. It flows easily from you, because the reality is, if you are rejoicing with me at the resurrection of Jesus, what you're rejoicing at is that we have a new covenant. Easter's about Jesus going to the cross and shedding his blood and dying and rising from the dead. And listen to this. Listen to what God says in Hebrews 8. This is verses 8 to 12. If you're following along in your Bible, want to look. It says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. So, new covenant, two things, two main things. Easy. There's something given, there's something taken. What's given is a new heart. You don't need to have the law preached at you. You don't need to have people telling you what to do. You already know, it says. And that's the first thing. And then there's the second thing, taken away, is all your sins. All the things you've done wrong, in the past, in the present, in the future, gone, says God. In fact, I'm not going to remember them anymore. That's pretty fabulous. What happened to Easter? What's the Easter connection, Dax? Why is this an Easter thing? Well, because whenever you have a covenant in the Bible like this, how does it come into effect? How did the old covenant come into effect? With blood, right? Like the people of Israel got sprinkled with blood, and the atonement seat got sprinkled with blood. It's kind of gross. We think, oh, I don't like the blood thing so much. But I'll tell you that. Life is in the blood, and we thought about this on Good Friday. Blood. whose blood? Well, that would be the blood of Jesus, right? So when you start talking about God's new relationship with you and me and what we stand and say we have, and I think, what's the New Testament? And I think, well, it starts with baby Jesus and the manger and it's soft and there's, no. The new covenant starts at the cross. At Easter is when we get the things that we have gotten. That's pretty important. Covenant, you know, it means testament. It means will, that's the word. And that word will or testament is kind of, so you have the New Testament, right? The whole thing is about the new relationship, the covenant that we get with God that starts at Easter. That's what we're celebrating today. Jesus is alive and he has established this for us at the cross where he died. Again in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, for where a will, a testament, a covenant, is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For it will take effect only at death, since it's not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Are you with me? Who died? Jesus died. So what do we get? His will and testament, his covenant comes to me. That's the whole idea is why we're saying, hey, look, you, everybody, humanity, look at what Jesus did for us. It's so fabulous, and it's about the cross. It's about the resurrection. He died, and he rose from the dead. But a death was necessary, right? Like a will, a testament, it doesn't start until you die. And so the baby Jesus is not the start of the new covenant. The crosses. That's a dividing line in Easter, and why it matters is because the new covenant starts where before the old was in effect. So you had an old covenant, and what Jesus did is he was born under the old covenant. He obeyed the old covenant. He functioned under the old covenant, and he brought us into the new covenant. This is huge. This is why it says, right, in Galatians chapter 4, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. That's a big deal. Jesus is under the law, that's the old covenant, and what he's going to do is move us into something totally new. It's why we sing songs. It's why we worship. It's why we're so excited that he is risen. He's risen indeed because he has done this for us. Something given, a new heart. Something taken away, our sins. Pretty cool. I mean, I say, I'm kind of with you, Dax, but I just don't understand why it really matters. I mean, because you got to realize under the old covenant, we still kind of go back to it. We have trouble. We think what we're doing is coming from the old car to the new car. We don't think, oh, we're coming from the new car into an airplane. And so therefore, we kind of continue to pull in. So you take things like the Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus' nice, friendly teaching about how to be a good person. And you think, oh, that's the way. I'm going to try and take the teachings of Jesus and do it. No, he's speaking before the cross. Under the law, and it convicts you. It's not friendly. It's a hammer. If you sin, you should cut off your hand. If you sin, you should pluck out your eye. If you're angry, it's murder. If you even look with lust, that's adultery. Then he says stuff like this. Remember, you got to be better than the Pharisees. I haven't seen any of those around recently. I try and make them out to be people today, but you know, they were an actual group of people. He said, hey, if you tear down your brother, you will be accountable to the Sanhedrin. Ooh, the Sanhedrin. What was that? That was their council. And Jesus is saying, you're under this thing. And honestly, you should be doing these things because you are to be perfect. Like your Father in heaven is perfect. That was the point of keeping the law, is to show us we can't. The old covenant was a failure for us, for the Jews, for them. Our only hope is going to be something totally new. But make no mistake, it is the old covenant he's talking about, right? So you got to kind of decide, is this stuff all just kind of jumbled together? And we rejoice that Jesus came because he's the Son of God and he was great and good. And we kind of think, oh yeah, Jesus, pie in the sky. And then we kind of go back to the car. Or if you think something totally different happened, something remarkable has changed, something new. So the proclamation I have from the Bible, from the scriptures, is that something is new. Your relationship has changed. You cannot flirt with Moses and the law and think what you're really doing is being in the new covenant. That's a big deal. God died for you and it worked. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. How can this be? How can it be that the Old Testament is done, that the law is done for you? The new covenant. Easter. What we're talking about today. This is it. So directly tied to him and what he did. So what did he do for us? Say, well, he gives us a new heart and he takes away all our sin. Yeah, but what? Let's read the will a little bit better. Let's think about how it changes on Easter. Because this new heart that's given and the thing that's taken away, all of our sins forgotten, forgiven forever by God. That means what we receive, what Easter brings, are a few things for you and me. I just want to hit two of them today. And they're trying to make them easier to remember, right? Something given, something taken. That's the new covenant. And then clean and close. I want you to remember. The first is you're clean. He, Jesus, has made you clean. I just want you to think on that for a minute. By clean, what I mean is pure and good and right, true. Forgiven is a way to say that. All of the wrongnesses taken away. You know, we have this, all this effort is built up trying to do the Sermon on the Mount and things like it. And here comes Jesus and he gives us for free. Not free to him, free to us. Cleansing in his blood. The God who did not hold back his own son, will he not freely give us all things? The things that he gives are clean. Super important, especially in this thought of forgiveness and purity and cleanliness, that it's Easter that does it, you know. It's what Jesus did that does it. It's him dying and he's the judge, he's resurrected, he's the one that decides. He's looking and he's saying, This is what I paid for, right? Is for you. How can I say that? Well, Hebrews, again, chapter 10, verse 14. For by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. You're in the process of being sanctified, yeah, but the focus is that passive, what Jesus has done. He has done it. What's the one sacrifice he did? The cross! Resurrected life is because of Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. Totally forgiven of every wrong, every miss, every evil. People who don't get Easter, you know, they argue, well, you know, you got to work to go get this. And no, not us. We say, hey, we're rejoicing today because Jesus Christ did it all. It worked. It is finished, was his cry. The focus is entirely on trusting this Savior and what he's done. See what it means? This is really important, actually, because it means every sin you've ever done, every sin you're doing right now, yeah, I'm looking at you. Every sin you're ever going to do, forgiven in the one sacrifice that Jesus did forever. That is so huge. It's why we sing these songs. It's what Easter is. We have this idea that we have to keep heading back to the temple to do another sacrifice. And so now what our sacrifices are, you know, because even they shifted to this, the Jews did, is not so much the animal sacrifice, it's the sacrifice of our tears and our sorry hearts and us saying, I'm so sad, I won't do this again, God. Here's my sacrifice of me to say that I won't do it again. But that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is Easter. Forgiveness is the blood of Christ for you. Everything you've ever done. Yeah, we keep in some sense being repented every day because we keep turning from ourselves. We come back to ourselves. So we turn again and again. The Holy Spirit turns our head. No, it's not you, Dax. It's what Jesus did. And I need that reminder over and over. The gospel pushed at me again and again because I'm going back. But my confession is just this humble heart all the time of I have no hope in myself. Want to count the ways? Oh, the sins that I do. I hate that I do them. But I know they're covered and forgiven by the blood of Christ. And that's because of the new covenant. And the new covenant is established at Easter. That's what we're talking about. The ground of being clean is not our tears. It's not our feelings. It is Jesus' blood. Again, let me just say, we don't get to have it on the screen today, but hear this, Hebrews 9:22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. What forgives the sin? The shedding of the blood. Whose blood am I talking about? The blood of Jesus Christ. Not your blood. One time for all. This is a total shift for us. The cross brings it. Where in the old covenant, it was never finished. They were always sacrificing. They were always striving. And here in the new covenant, perfect in Jesus, made by his sacrifice, what he has done for us. Guys, this is Easter. We're having tech problems today. I know that's probably a surprise to you. Oh, somebody doesn't want us to hear. One illustration I've heard is the Mona Lisa. Maybe you've seen this, and I'm not talking about the people who went in and graffitized it or whatever. I'm saying you've seen the Mona Lisa, and you came to the museum, and you walked in, and you saw this beautiful, amazing Mona Lisa. The urge would not be, I hope, that you would look and say, you know what? Her smile just isn't quite big enough. Like, I appreciate the Mona Lisa, but I think what I need to do, they don't have any paint. I need some paint. And you sit down with your paint and you would start to like improve the Mona Lisa. You start to try and make it just a little bit better. What in the world? You actually think you're going to improve it? The person who painted it is the one who's improved it. They made it as they wanted it. Yet somehow we think that that's what we're doing. That God kind of gives us a paintbrush. Okay, work on yourself and make yourself better. Instead of, you know, God made you and he has you and he forgives you and he's got you where he wants you and you're totally in his hand. You're forgiven. That's the new covenant, right? It's an act of God on you. And I want to mix in a little old. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He's not needing to work on you more. He has done it. It worked. I think that like you see something like the Mona Lisa, we sit down and we look at it and we say, Lord, thank you. We're horrible at thank you. I know I am. I would so much rather contribute to my own like stuff than to just say thank you and let someone else do it. It's a horrible, horrible characteristic of me. I don't know if it also affects you as much as it affects me. I would so much rather say, I contributed to this and therefore I have a piece of it than to just say, oh, thank you. I was watching a movie the other day and somebody gave this gal a bicycle and she brought it back. She said, I can't take this. She says, why not? Just lying in my garage. And she's like, I didn't work for it. I'm not taking it. He said, you know, it was a Southern move. He says, here in the South, usually what you do is you just say, thank you. That's what you got to do. We got to learn this. God in Christ has given us the most amazing thing ever. Thank you. It's actually our confession, right? If you look at the Heidelberg Confession, it's like, what should man do? And prominently placed there in the very first question, gratitude. Not work, not earn, not make sure you paint the painting better, but just thank you, Lord. You've done it. I trust you. You're going to accomplish what you said. You are, not me. That's what we're talking about, right? Clean, forgiven by him. He did it one single time. No more to do because Jesus is not going to the cross again. No more forgiveness to be had. He's forgiven you. No more, man, have you ever heard? Keep a short account with God. Dude, you don't have a short account. You got no account. He got out of the account keeping business. It's not like you're going to come. I saw so many people that come to me and say, you know, I'm just worried about the judgment seat. I'm going to get to God. Are my works going to be good enough? I'm going to say, I've got to get out of that sin or Jesus is going to judge me. Say, wait a minute. Are you under the new covenant? Yeah. Where God says, I remember your sins no more except for later. Like no more then, but maybe he's going to save them up for later. That's not forgetting. That's not letting them go. That's not you cleansed. That's you trying to get in the car again. That's the trouble, right? That's why Easter's so amazing if we really get it. Because we have no car payment. We have no mortgage. We have no debt. Not because we earned that because of our hard work. Because Jesus finished it at the cross. Because of Easter. So that's the first sort of effect. He made you clean, forgiven, good, not a new leaf. Just, wow, thanks. So the second one is even better and more amazing, but harder to understand. And not just clean, but close. Right? Easter means this perfect closeness, not closer than close. Have you ever heard? I have. Have you ever heard a lot? Here's 5 ways to be closer to God. Here's 10 steps to develop your walk with God in a positive way and get close. What do you think? Can you get closer to God? Now, what I would say is you can feel closer to God. My feelings go up and down all the time because there's many fine things to do, like going to church, having a quiet time, taking a walk in the woods. I don't know. What makes you feel closer to God? Last week I was dealing with a man in despair. And he says, God is so far away from me. I said, why? I haven't even opened my Bible for 2 weeks. Okay, you should open your Bible. That's great information about Jesus. But that same Bible you're going to open is going to tell you something about how close you are to God, right? That's a confusion about the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. He makes us close. Hear this from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Whoa. Now, that gets a little bit like, oh, well, I like objective things that I can measure. And no, something miraculous happens at Easter. By his blood, by his work on the cross and rising from the dead, Jesus Christ unites us to himself. He has done it. Right? That's why the most common description of believers in the New Testament isn't believers, isn't even saints, and it's certainly not Christians. It is in Christ. Are you in Christ? Well, yeah, but, you know, I'm not even sure what that really means, so I don't really follow that. Yeah, but it's true. That's what it is. One pastor did it this way. So it's like nesting dolls. I don't know. At least it helps with the thinking, right? The Matryoshka dolls, where like you have the big one and you unscrew it, and there's one inside, and you unscrew it, and there's one inside that, and you unscrew it, and there's a smaller one inside. That me in Christ, and I open up, oh, Christ is in me. Oh, I open up, oh, me is in Christ. Oh, Christ, it's bound together. You know what that means? You can't say, I'm wandered far from Christ. You have? No, that's why Paul's upset when the guys are going to some prostitute because you're taking Jesus with you. He doesn't leave. That's what the new covenant does, right? That's what Easter has done. Let me read from Colossians 1. It says, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles, that's us, are the riches of the glory of this mystery. What mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When did I get that? Easter. You got it at Easter. Christ in you. You in Christ. You cannot get any closer. That's Easter talk. The new covenant. And so you get this confusion. People say, well, have you been spending time with God? I think they mean reading the scriptures to get closer to him. And I say, well, aren't you always spending time with God? Because he never leaves you. We're not David. Well, you can sing the song. That's okay. It's a catchy song of Psalm 51, you know. Cast not thy Holy Spirit from me. But if you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is where? In you, sealed forever. Ephesians 1. And David is under what? What is David under? Something called the Old Covenant. That's not us. Oh, dear people, that you would hear it. That you would hear this amazing thing of why? Why I start, I'm getting too excited. I'm going to get ramped up. Because it's exciting. This is incredible. Hear what Jesus prays in John 17. I do not ask for these only, Jesus prays. His prayer got answered. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be in us. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Did you hear that? Jesus prays that we would be in us. Like that's us in them. Who are the them? Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and then y'all. Whoa! What is that? I don't know. It's a huge mystery. But I know it's the cross that's done it. It's Jesus Christ dying and rising from the dead that he mediates this new covenant that is started and finished at Easter. That's it. Directly linked to Easter, Jesus on a cross, Jesus rising from the dead, because his rising is to eternal life with us. He makes us new. It's not that we die to ourselves, some sort of like choice to be like Jesus. It's that we have died in him. That's why baptism is such the picture. We go in with Jesus to his death, with Jesus in his life, because we're identified with him. We're going to take communion. We're going to take in Christ because we're with him. This is the whole theology we have, that something massively shifted at Easter. What shifted? The new covenant started. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Are you new? Yes. Why? Easter. The new covenant. Or Colossians 3, for you have died and your life is hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's called a promise. He's coming back. So my hope is today that you receive the wonder of what Easter is, how it's directly related to the new covenant. And those aren't just like high theological words. This is actually the life that we are living. What's the new covenant again? Well, it's something given and something taken away. The giving is the new heart that Jesus gives by his blood to you. He's got you. He's going to develop you with your desires and the works that you're going to do. He's already prepared for you. You're good to go. And then he takes something away. All your sin. Past, present, future. That's the promise in the new covenant, the one-time sacrifice of the blood of Christ. It's not that you do more, it's that he has done. And because of that, two things today. There's more, but the two things. One is you're clean, forgiven, good, pure. That's one thing. And then the second thing is you're close. Oh, you're united to him by what he's done. This is why we come to Easter. Hey, why are you rejoicing so much? Because this is the best gift we could ever have. I'm tempted again to think it's like me getting a new car and learning now how to drive again and doing the same motions to do the same work on my morals and ethics and all the things to function in the world. And you can still do all that stuff. But the reality is you're now on an airplane. Somebody else is the pilot. We are on it together. He's got you. And he's getting us to where we need to go in him forever. He has risen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you rose, that you died for us, that you shed your blood, that you started the new covenant for us. Oh, Father, we boldly come into your presence because of that covenant, because of the access we had, because we're close, because we're clean, because of Jesus. And today, this day, we proclaim our hope is in you only. Lord, help us to stand on that, to stand on the rock that is your Son. Help us to keep our eyes fixed where it needs to be, which is on you. Thanks for what you've done. In your name, amen.